Welcome to Eagle's Way this morning. Such a beautiful day. I'm glad that you're here. Aren't you glad? God is good. God is good. I have had a week it's been a great week. It's been a week of my brother hurt both of his shoulders Friday, and had to have like reconstructive surgery on both. And I've just been an emotional wreck. Because of that, I love my brother dearly. And through all this, I've been, you know, it could be so easy for me to get down and to be upset that I see my brother hurting. And I have been a little bit. But you know what? I'm going to believe that God is good and God is a God who heals.
That's right.
And who loves.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to believe through all this. So no matter what situation you're going through, maybe you have something kind of like mine, a family member or something. But just today, look outside at this beautiful place that God has made and know that God is going to make it right. He's going to heal him. He's a God that heals. He's a God of miracles. We sing a great song up here all the time about God of miracles. And I am just so glad that we're here today to worship him. So if you'll stand, let's worship.
Are you hurting, broken, then overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From our bondage, side of God. You split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am the child of God. Yes, I am. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Amen. Reading from Hebrews. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. God is so good, and even through the storms, even through the trials, even through everything, we can hold tight to his word. We can hold tight to know that he's going to provide, that he's going to give us that peace. And in these next couple of songs, it talks about the oceans and the grand mountains and things that can overpower us and take over and cause fear. But God is bigger than that. That's why they use these symbolisms, is because those things can be so overwhelming. But God is bigger than that. He can overcome all of those things. I have seen it. I have seen it with my own eyes over and over and over again, where God brings in that peace. He makes it bigger and better than I could ever imagine. Even though it is hard during the times, even though you cannot see past that, whatever it is in front of you, when you give him full control, when you allow him to show you, when you allow him in your life to open those doors, oh my God, it's so much bigger and better than you could ever imagine. I have seen it. I have seen it. Amen. It is well within my soul. It is well. He is so good. That word is so true. He is life. He is love. He is peace. He is these things. Hold on to that and don't let go. Don't let go of that. He is so good. He is so good.
It is well with me.
to not believe. Even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. It is well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being with us. Thank you,
stronger in the presence of my Savior.
trust in you, God. Thank you that it's everlasting, your love, your peace. Thank you that you never fail us. God, no matter how crazy and chaotic it gets around us, God, you never fail us. It may not look like we think it is, God. You make it better. You make it so much bigger and so much better, God. Thank you so much that you love us unconditionally. God, you are so good. Thank you for your grace, God. Oh, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for making us holy and worthy in your sight. Oh, God, you are so good. Thank you, Jesus. You made me see them.
Good morning. Well, there's quite a wedding yesterday. And about a third of our people are still up there. So I'm glad you came. I'm going to continue, of course, all year on the table. But this morning, we're going to start this month's series called Healing at the Table. Healing at the table. I believe two things. One, you're either in the process of being healed or you're maintaining your healing. And you're continuing to grow more and more in Him. We're either in the process of getting our healing or maintaining our healing. Maintaining our health and our healing is probably, to me, one of the most important things that we can do. And I heard a statement the other day, and it said, things are either spinning out of control or they're spinning into control. It's according on how you look at it. I can look at my life and say, oh, no, it's spinning out of control. Or I can look at it another way and say, it's spinning into control. Pain and hurt is either going to do two things through us: transform you or transmit it. Right. It will either transform us or it will be transmitted from us. Look at this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. The writer said that we need to look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. See, it just doesn't happen to us without it happening to somebody else. And I want to talk about three things, three aspects of healing that we need to maintain in our life or we need to continue to grow in. And it is the fact that we are a spirit, we are a soul, and we live in a body. We are mainly a spirit. The Bible says that when we die, this body goes back to the dust and the spirit returns to God who gave it. You have always been and you always will be. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you. And so we are spiritual beings. We are soulless beings. We have an intellect. We have a will. We have emotions. And we have a body. And about 10 years ago, and I really want to elaborate on this spirit, soul, and body because it's so important. But about 10 years ago, I went through the most painful awakening of my life. I mean, painful awakening. And that wasn't in my soul, and it wasn't in my body. It was in my spirit. And Barbara came up to me, and I'll never forget it. And she said, you have lost your spiritual edge. I didn't get mad. I didn't get angry. It hurt, Ron. It hurt deep. There's not anything more important to me in my life than my spiritual edge. And when she told me I had lost it, I was determined. Not only was I going to get it back, but I was going to get it back with vengeance. I mean, I was determined. I'm not just going to get my spiritual edge back. I'm going to get more than that spiritual edge back. I'm going to get it back. I'm going to be so determined. I'm going to get this thing. Jesus one time was walking and the disciples was with him. And all of a sudden he stops and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What do you mean, who touched you, Lord? There's all these people around you and you're wondering who touched you." He says, No, somebody really touched me. Somebody grabbed hold of my garment, and they really, see, the word touch is a Greek word, habzidio, something like that. And he says, she grabbed his garment and she just gave it a tug. She wanted something more than anybody else out there wanted. And the Bible says that she was healed because of her determination to get the healing. And Jesus said, "I felt virtue flow out of my body because somebody was really grabbing after me." And I remember the story in Kings when Elisha became the head prophet and the other prophets were building a larger house for the school of the prophets. And they had borrowed an axe, and as they was cutting down a tree, the Bible says that the axe head came off and fell in a water. And they came to Elisha and said, "We've lost the axe head." And it hit me, we've lost our cutting edge. We've lost our spiritual edge. And Elisha said, "Where did you lose it?" I said, "Where did it fall in?" You see, you get your healing wherever you wherever your pain was, that's where your healing comes from. If I'm pained at home, my healing is going to come at home. If I'm pained at work, my healing is going to come at wherever it is, that's where you got to go. You see, the Bible says you don't lose your love, you leave it. Said so you left your first love. You didn't lose it, you just left it. Where did you leave it at? Then go back and get it. And so he said, "Where did you lose it?" He said, "I lost it here." And he took a stick and he stuck it in the water and the axe head floated up. And then he said something, and I love it how it reads in the New Living Translation. He says, "Grab it." In other words, get it. This is important. Grab it now. Get it while you see it, get it now. Axe heads don't float. So you better grab it now, because if you don't grab it now, guess what? It's going back down. If you don't grab it when you see it and grab it with intentional purpose, then it's just going to go out of sight again. And I had to determine, I had a thing to decide, am I going to let my spiritual edge be gone forever? Or am I going to go back and get it? And you know where I got it? Same place I got it before. Same place I got it. I keep it right here. I left it. There wasn't enough markings in this book anymore. There wasn't enough time in this book anymore. And so I had to go right back to where I lost my spiritual edge. That's where I lost it. That's where I lost it. Where did you lose it? Go back and get it. Go back and get it. I lost my love at home. Go back and get it. You can get it. You can get it. You can get it. But you got to go back and get it. You got to go to the place that you lost it. In James chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Count it joy when you come into trials, testings." Now I'm doing a little different translation. But James was a half-brother of Jesus. And James didn't believe in Christ. He was raised with him. So, it's, you know, you're raised with Jesus. It's hard to believe he's Jesus, right? It's just like Eddie had a hard time believing that I'm a pastor. When you're raised with Pastor Beer, I mean, it's a little difficult. The hardest thing he ever had to come to grips with was Pastor Buren. He my brother Buren, but Pastor Buren just a little deep for him. And so James is raised with Jesus, and the Bible says that his brothers didn't even believe in him. But after the resurrection, they believed. And so James finally believes, and it says, this is a letter from him, and he calls himself a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, Eddie really has a hard time with that one. But he says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. In other words, you count it. It's not, how many knows it's not joyful when trouble comes your way? But our attitude's got to be things are not spinning out of control, they're spinning into control. And the end result of this is going to be joy. And if I count it as so, then joy gives is the voice really of faith that's saying, I don't have it now, but I know I'm going to get it. Because we have a God who has promised us these things would come to pass. Isaiah 53, he says, who has believed our message? Who? Whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? Before we go any further with that, the Bible says that Jesus with his finger cast out demons. Says with his hands he created the world. But with his arm he saved you. It took more power from God to save a soul than to cast out a demon or to create the world. More strength of God to save a soul than to cast out a demon or create the world. Who has believed that? That's it. That's key. I want you to think for just a moment what we just said. Anybody ever say, oh, well, I'd love to see the power of God. Look in the mirror and see the most powerful, powerful thing that ever happened to you was your soul came to God. Right. Believe that message. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. A punishment for his own sins. Isn't it amazing how still today we think, and so many people believe, that God punishes. And if anybody's going through trouble, we go, well, you must have done something wrong. Have you ever gone through some troubles and the first thing you said to yourself, what did I do wrong? Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever say, what did I do wrong? When are we ever going to come to the place to recognize and realize God's not angry? God's not mad. God's not upset. God does not send punishment. God sends healing. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. In this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God does not bring punishment. He does not bring wrath. His punishment, his wrath was settled at Calvary. It was settled. It was all. He's not an Old Testament God anymore. He's a New Covenant God. So he said, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins, beaten so that we could be whole. We're getting it? We're getting there? All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Okay, well, how am I going to make sure that this spirit and this soul and this body is whole? How many believe that God really wants you to be whole in spirit, soul, and in body? Well, you got to start at the core. You got to start in the spirit. It's got to start there. We still have this body, soul, spirit way when it's got to be spirit, soul, body way. It's got to go to the core of our being. Our spirit is the most critical, most important part of our being. And that's where it starts. That's where I got to get my cutting edge. I swear, and God gives you a lot of tools to keep your spiritual cutting edge. He gives you pastors. He gives you teachers. He gives you evangelists. He gives you the Word of God. He gives you prayer. He gives you other people. Because prayer, our spiritual edge is going to come from the Word. It's going to come through what He just said. Do we believe the Word? It's going to come through that. Second place it's going to come through is praise and worship. Paul and Silas are in prison, and at midnight they begin to worship and praise the Lord. And the shackles fell off, and the prison doors were open, and all the prisoners' shackles fell off. Because praise is not just for you, it's for everybody else. And so there's my word, and there's my praise, and there's my worship, and there's you. That we are the body of Christ, and our healing comes through the body. It comes through the fact that each and every one of us are continually mending and washing our nets so that we can cast our nets and so that other people can be brought into the kingdom of God. I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. But God wants me whole. There are more sick people today in the soul than in any other place. And the greatest healing that you'll ever experience, as I already said, is the healing of the soul. James goes on to say, and he says this, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Which salvation is a huge Greek word. It covers every part of your being. It covers your spirit. It covers your soul. It covers your body. It covers everything. And God paid a tremendous price by sending his son so that we could have all of these things. And James said, these kind of trials, they come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. And they come in all intervals. Come in all shapes. Come in all sizes. And they come in all intervals. One of the most profound things Billy Woodward ever said to me was years ago. He looked at me and he said, Buren, and I was getting older, still am. And he says, I want to tell you something. He said, life is not going to get more simplified as you get older. I thought, I don't like that. I thought the older you got, you know, you have more money, you have more stuff, everything's, you know what I'm saying? And I had to think about what he was saying. And, you know, I didn't have to think about it. All of a sudden, I started experiencing it. Life does get more complicated. Matter of fact, the more stuff you got, the more complicated it gets. And the more relationships you have, the more complicated it gets. I thought I was done raising kids. I didn't know that you raise grandchildren. I didn't know that was part of life. I thought I had done my job. No, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and life gets more complicated. But it's okay, because we serve a God who wants to simplify it. And he does it by the simplicity of Christ. Everything else complicates it. Christ simplifies it. And that's why Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what the stick was that went in the water to get the axe head back, was the cross. And it's always the cross that's going to get your spiritual edge back. It's always the cross that's going to get everything back. Because, see, when you come to the cross and you bear the cross, then everything filters through and through the cross. And that's where we go, oh, I need to die to myself. Oh, I know how to handle this. Go to the cross. How many, that was Wednesday night, you weren't here. But we talked about everybody loves a resurrection. Everybody likes an awakening to life, right? But nobody wants the cross. You got to have a cross, and you got to have a death, and you got to have a burial before you can have a resurrection. And what's wrong with a lot of us sometimes, we don't take it, bear it, bury it, to see it come back alive in a fresh and a new way. And that's what God wants in our lives all the time. A fresh understanding. It's a constant death, burial, and resurrection of life. But it comes through understanding that I got to bury it. I got to put it away. I've never been one. Even mother always did. She always wanted to go to the cemetery. And I'd take her for the last 20 years to the cemetery. Put flowers on daddy's grave or just to go by there. I don't think in 20 years I ever just went by there by myself. Just never felt the need to do that. But last week, I just wheeled in there. And I guess because both parents were there. And when I was standing there, I had the thought, wow, what a joy and blessing is to know that you put it out of sight. See, that's what burial's for. It's to put it out of sight. How horrible it would be if you didn't have that. How horrible it would be if you never had that part, that you put it out of sight. And the way you deal with your situations and your troubles and your problems is you got to put them out of sight. God said through Christ, he says, when I forgave you your sins, I took them and put them in the depths of the sea to remember them no more. In other words, to talk about them, to bring them back up, no more. It's out of sight. My daddy used to say it this way. He put your sins in the depths of the sea and he put up a no fishing sign. And we all need to put up, no fishing sign. Not just fishing up my sins, but fishing up your sins. You know, how you get over a situation with your mate, with a person, don't bring it up anymore. There's some things we don't talk about at home or at work or anywhere else. We don't bring them up. So how do you know that you're forgiven? You don't bring it up. That's how you know. Do you forget it? No. No. I ain't forgot one single thing Barbara hurt me with. I ain't not one. I ain't forgot any of it. No. But we don't bring it up. Thank God she doesn't bring up my stuff. Right? That's how you stay. You got to put it out of sight. Put it away. I want you to stand this morning. If you're here and there's a healing that you need in your life, a healing spirit, healing in soul, healing in body. I want you to come and stand across the front before we have communion together, that you know there's a healing that you need, that you're in the process of getting. And we want to see that thing just really take off. Would you just come and stand and say, I need that. I need my spiritual edge. I got some turmoil in my soul or physical, whatever it may be. God says, I want to do something through you, with it, and for it. Father, we just thank you that we begin this day anew in you. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to walk with us. And we're going to walk through the fire and not be burned, and walk through the flood and not drown. That you're always there to take us step by step. And we thank you for that beginning anew today. In Jesus' name, amen. New today. Thank you, Lord, that today we start anew. A brand new day. A brand new day. You know, there's a lot of stuff you've been trying to fix, and Lord just wants you to just stop trying to fix it and just trust him with it. That's the only thing you need to do. You just totally, completely trust him with it. I used to give this illustration a lot to people who's going through stuff like that. When I was a little boy, fish with my Uncle Van. It's more like a grandfather to me. He taught me how to fish. And every time I'd get my line tangled up, the more I worked with it, the more tangled it got. And then I'd hand it over to him, and he would just take it and patiently get it all worked out for me. And that's what God wants to do in you and your family's life with things that's going on. Stop trying to figure it all out. It just gets more tangled up. Just give it to him. Just cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Amen?
Amen.
Bless you. Elders, come, I'm going to receive communion. And if you're here, you believe in Christ, you know what he did for you at the cross, we invite you to come down in a few moments and get your elements and go back to the seat, and then we'll receive it together. I still stand amazed every time we do communion, and every time I think about what Jesus said on the night he was betrayed. We talked back in Easter about how he's on the cross, and while he's suffering, while it's happening to him, then he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While it was happening, not after the fact, while it was going on. And the night he was betrayed, the same night, he took the bread and he broke it, and he says, this is my body which is broken for you. Take in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he had given thanks. He says, this is my blood. This is my new covenant. When you drink this, all is well. All is well. Amen. Maybe seated, and ushers will come and receive morning tithes and offerings. But Ralph, I'm going to ask you to come up here for a moment. In your bulletin on your connection card, there's this coming Wednesday at 10 o'clock. I'll let Rav share what that's about.
Thank you, my friend. This morning, Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to be having a class. We had one back in March, and I know Pastor Buren asked me about
it. I'll make sure that's on. Okay. Just hold it closer.
Okay. We had a class in March, and we're teaching that. And then Pastor Buren asked me, would I do another one in May? And so as I was giving thought to this, I've been thinking about how important it is if each one of us could discover our pathway to our sacred self. And as I was giving thought to that in meditation and to that quite some time, I had an epiphany. And to say, discover your sacred path would indicate that you're not already, you got to find it. And you don't have to find what you already are. So we're going to be doing a class on awakening, being awakened to your sacred self. Because when you become awakened to what you already are, then you understand then you already have it. But to do this, we're going to expose the truly enemy of all of us is our ego. Three things ego will do. It has to teach you your separateness from God and from each other, or we'll try to convince you that you're special. All three of those are blinds that will keep you blinded to the fact that you're already sacred. So to be awakened to your sacred self is to become aware, consciously aware of your sacredness. At 3 o'clock this morning, if you were asleep like I was, you could have brought a gorilla in your bedroom and you would not have known it. Unless he awaken you. Because you only become aware once you awaken. So once you become awakened that you're not separate from God and you're not separate from each other and all are special. Everybody is special, not just you. So join with us on this class for 4 Wednesdays in a row, the 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st on this class, 10 o'clock Wednesday morning on the awakening of your sacred self. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these tithes and these offerings. We present them unto you. Thank you, God, for sending forth your healing virtue throughout the land. And Lord, for people who aren't here, for Adam, for Mike, for Suzanne Fountain, for other people, Lord, that is going through some real tough times right now, we ask you to send forth your word and bring healing in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's stand and worship before we go.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Y'all have a great day. We'll see you next time.